Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
All right, WEEI, it's Football Sunday here. We got 2 hours until the 1 o'clock slate of kickoffs, but Patriots won't be playing until later on tonight at 11 o'clock. Every Sunday, it's time for Chris Scheim to let us know what they said.
One, two, three.
It's time for...
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
I just hope we can win a game.
But they are who we thought they were.
They said it.
And we let them off the hook.
Football Sunday edition.
36 counter naked waggle at 7.
I'm just going to say
it. WEEI.
Welcome into They Said It here. WEEI Football Sunday edition. We'll start with Coach Mike Vrabel. He joins the Greg Hill Show every Monday following a Patriots win or loss. In this case, it was a win as the Patriots dominated the Carolina Panthers. We expected Vrabel to be in a superb mood. He was just kind of in a regular mood, which was kind of funny. But he talked about the comments Stephon Diggs made of only being about 5 out of 10 familiar with the offense. Here was Coach Mike Vrabel.
Steph Diggs said that his comfortability within the offense is a 5 out of 10 right now. Is that just how he feels?
Then he should study more.
Okay.
I love this you, by the way. This is like, let's go.
5 out of 10.
Let's go get him.
We need to get going. I'll have to talk to Steph today.
You got to know the playbook inside and out.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
I mean, 5 out of 10. I went to Ohio State. It's failing.
Yeah, that's not good.
I just didn't know if it was him feeling comfortable coming back from injury or if it was how he felt with Drake or within the offense. I didn't know.
We'll have to clarify what part of it is 50%. We'll have to have a winning effort physically, mentally, and whatever the third one was.
Yeah.
We'll have to bump it up a little bit here to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think the third one's emotionally.
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 We need to be better in all three phases then, because that's not good enough.
So do we feel like Stephon Diggs is acclimating better to the offense? I was actually just talking to Meg about this in the break. I think Stephon Diggs might have a big game against Buffalo, a little bit of a revenge game for Stephon Diggs. Where do we feel like Diggs is at so far this season?
I would say Diggs is wildly misunderstood with most of these quotes. And the 5 out of 10, I knew as soon as he said that, and right after the fact said, just because I never want to get too comfortable paraphrasing whatever he was saying, people were going to run with that. And I thought that was so ridiculous because obviously he understands the offense. He might be the only receiver outside of tight end Hunter Henry who completely knows where he's supposed to be at all times. Like, if you think that
that's
Stephon
a low
Diggs,
bar, though, Megan, let's
saying,
be honest.
But I'm saying, like, the way that people ran with this, I thought was so silly because, if anything, he doesn't have the separation he used to have, okay? Like, he's 31 years old. He's coming off a torn ACL. He still seems to be on some kind of pitch count coming back from that injury because it's still very early in the process when he tore it in week 8 last year. But he understands the offense, guys. He's where he's supposed to be. He is a precise route runner. Like, he is where he's supposed to be. You should not be concerned. It was clearly just him being a hardo, being like, never get comfortable, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And then what makes it worse is, like, he doesn't explain himself well after the fact, where he's like, I was being kind of sarcastic. I was joking. And it's like, well, but that's not a funny joke. So nobody really gets the punchline or anything.
Mego defends Steph Diggs like Rosemary Capaccio defended Jack Jones.
I would be like that. I could be representation, guys. Look, we're from the same hometown, okay?
It's really true.
Boy, he's
that receiver understands yeah. the offense. I'm like standing in front of a North
My
End
client
restaurant.
Knows more than 50% of the playbook.
He's got her under his spell for sure, man.
Logo. Okay, tell me, Ted, that he doesn't understand the offense.
He totally understands it. He's basically saying, look, look, I'm the fourth most efficient receiver in the league, only knowing half of the playbook. Can you imagine what's going to look like when I get the full playbook under my understanding? So watch out. I think that's nothing to see here in that comment. I don't think that's a big deal at all.
Well, Josh McDaniels' offenses have been described anyway as very complicated, very complex. I remember Ocho Cinco when he was here. Yep. They got to the end. Brewski was like, this
Diggs is not Ocho Cinco in terms of learning the playbook.
He's not, but you can say that, you know, they both had very high peaks, right? I mean, like, he was a guy when they brought him here. He was a little past his prime. You can say the same thing about Diggs, I would say. And he had no idea. I remember Brewski being like, get a playbook and go back mm-hmm. and study because you're in the wrong place. I don't think that's Diggs. I think he's been better than in general, but he also hasn't made a huge impact up until this past week.
Like, no, he hasn't.
This was his big breakout week. Prior to that, you could tell me he didn't know the playbook.
He's
I don't
also
know
played
if he did or not.
50% of snaps. That's like, true. They continue, and this is where I'm going to be curious how much playtime he gets tonight and going forward, because I do think that they're slow playing it with the injury. And so I'm curious. Is he going to be on the field more? Is his production going to go up just by the nature of being on the field more?
I would think it would be. And I'll say this. I haven't heard one time of him lining up wrong. I mean, you heard that with Kendrick Bourne. You heard it with all the other young receivers they have. You know, Kayshon Booty, Javon Baker before he left. So this is typically an offense where you hear at least some of these receivers struggling at times trying to figure out the offense. Not once have I heard Steph Diggs didn't know where he was supposed to line up.
Well, even in that Pittsburgh game on that 4th-and-1 that went to Pop Douglas that he didn't convert, Steph Diggs on that play, if you're watching the tape, like, is pointing out the blitzers. He's like, hey, Drake, guy's mm-hmm. coming right here. Be ready. And so, like, I think he is far more intelligent than he lets on. Let's head over to the afternoon show, WEEI Afternoons. They're joined every week by...
You sure that's the afternoon show?
Mm-hmm.
WEEI Afternoon. We knew it.
All right.
Making a joke. I wasn't making fun of you. I was making fun of whoever named the show WEEI Afternoon.
Well, either way, Ted's on that very show, and they're joined by Adam Schefter every week. And Schefter talked about how much he really likes Drake May. Here was Adam Schefter.
Well, maybe it's a combination of both. You know, I don't know if I've said this. Maybe I haven't. Forgive me if I have. But I'm in two fantasy football leagues, and the quarterback of both my teams and the quarterback of my daughter's fantasy football team is Drake May. So, you know, the Schefters believe in Drake May, for the record.
I also have Drake May on a fantasy football team. Do you think that nationally people believe in Drake May the same way people here believe in Drake May?
No, I don't think so. I think Schefter does. But I also think it would really suck to be in a fantasy football league with Adam Schefter. He has every single scoop on every single player in the league.
Doesn't mean he has the best waiver priority.
Working that waiver wire. I know, but you don't
know. I'm not scared.
I wouldn't want to be in a league with him.
That's like saying you don't want to be in a league with Matthew Berry. He does it for a living. Like,
I wouldn't want to be in a league with him either.
No, I'd rather be in a league.
Shime, are you saying nationally, are you talking about national media? Or are you talking about nationally, like, other coaches and executives around the league?
Great question. I will say national media.
I don't care. I'm sorry. Right, I don't
then.
Care. Like,
okay, then let's go honestly, to option B then.
Okay,
how about the other
option
coaches?
Option B means a lot more. Because option B means they're taking you seriously again. And they're going to start looking halfway through the season at like, oh my God, this kid, like we got to be ready. As Ted pointed out, defenses looking at his ability, the one giant silver lining from last year of how he could take off and convert third downs that way, that now they have to sit and play in zone because they can't turn their backs on that kind of quarterback. Like, I think that that's much more important than what people on a panel are saying, like, oh, gotta respect Drake May now. And who cares?
I think there was an imbalance there. I thought it was the other way around to start the season, at least. I mean, a lot of people are huge believers in Drake May, and I think locally we were in a wait and see, especially after that first game against the Raiders. It was like, oh man. But a lot of people picked this team, the national pundits that cover the NFL, picked this team to be a playoff team. So I think the national media were very bullish on Drake May to start the season. And my guess is they still feel the same way based on what they saw last week.
As someone who has been a believer in Drake May this entire time, I feel even more empowered now through four weeks to toot the horn of Drake May.
I'll say this. He balls out tonight, and that's going to be a much bigger number. I mean, this is Sunday Night Football. If he goes out there and has a great game against Josh Allen, that number is going to go up like tenfold.
Yeah, you go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen on primetime television on Sunday Night Football, you are going to be a household name on Monday morning. Let's head to college football for a moment, shall we? Yesterday wasn't a great day for Bill Belichick.
No. That hasn't been really a great year, really, for Bill.
Ted, you're probably not wrong. Well, here is former New England Patriot, a player of Bill Belichick's, Damian Harris, talking about Bill and his legacy.
But when you talk about the legacy of Bill Belichick, I mean, it is just going down and down and down and down. Listen to this. I mean, first and foremost, I will say their offense has been atrocious. You want to talk about quarterback play? It's been bad. They are almost dead last out of 136 FBS teams in points per game, yards per game, yards per play, and third down conversion. Now, luckily, they crafted the top 70 in red zone scoring, but guess what the problem is? They can't get to the red zone. They only have 11 trips in the red zone. That is as many as University Texas San Antonio. It is not good. Their defense also not good, but not as bad as the offense.
When he said University of Texas, I was like, oh, San Antonio. Oh, oops.
Catching a stray there. Poor San Antonio.
Boy, Damian Harris bringing the heat, man.
By the way, he sounded good. I didn't even know he was a commentator. Really he sounded good. Great. That was good. That was good commentary.
We played a clip of him on our They Said It. I want to say it was about Bill Belichick already a couple months ago that he was nervous that this was going to have a bad impact for him.
Should I even say this? I
probably right. Come on. What?
All right. You can't tease us.
Yeah, that's...
Mark Sanchez had a better weekend than Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Oh,
boy. Arcan.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You might be wrong.
I don't know.
Did Mark Sanchez find, like, the last true Four Loco that was left?
it's something going on in there. As far as what Harris had to say... That is, I mean, listen, you can say whatever you want about that. I think that Bill Belichick scammed that university.
Oh,
I think
time.
It was a full-on Nigerian prince scam.
That's what it is.
Here.
He knew what he was doing.
He's completely ripped them off. There's what you're seeing week in and week out is embarrassing. They're embarrassed. People were leaving at halftime.
Clemson, who stunk for 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a huge disappointment, and they dog-walked
And forgive me if we're getting to this, but I don't see it. Nick Saban had to say about Mac Jones in reference to Bill Belichick. Did you see that?
I did not.
I did see that, yeah.
So Nick Saban was on ESPN's the Pat McAfee show. I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday. Well,
it was Friday.
It had to be Friday, right? Because the 49ers played, Mac Jones played on Thursday night. He said this, Nick Saban did, about Mac Jones. He says, I'm happy for Mac. He says, I think Mac was one of those guys who was in a bad situation in New England relative to coaching and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the offensive coordinator? And how did he get developed when he came into the league? That's Nick Saban calling out Bill Belichick and his coaching staff of Mac Jones. So, woof, rough weekend for Bill, man.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Mac Jones. He had a great game Thursday night against the Los Angeles Rams. And his new head coach, Kyle Shanahan, a much better cultivator of quarterbacks, I would say, spoke about Mac Jones after the game.
I was real impressed. You know, he played his ass off, man. Was unbelievable in the first half. Got banged up a little bit there in the second half and battled through it and protected the ball. Going against that defense and throwing the ball that many times and not having a turnover and protecting like he did, I can't say enough good things about Mac.
I would like to just point out, I feel like I've given Mac his credit for how well he played on Thursday night, but I would also like to just also point out the fact he was not the reason they won that football game. The reason they won that football game is because your rookie defensive lineman punched the ball out on the 1 yard line, and then Sean McVay pooped down his pants and called a weird run play on fourth and one. That's why you won the game.
Mac, you wouldn't have been in that position if Mac didn't do that. Mac was fantastic.
I totally agree. I just wanted to point
Kendrick
out.
Can I just say, my major takeaway from that was...
Mac's suit before the game?
That was so bad.
He looked like Two-Face.
I'm genuinely happy for Mac. Mac, I think, is...
Happy for him, too.
A nice young man. He was ultra-professional all the time dealing with our station and just, like, kept it 100, everything that he agreed to do.
Sure.
However... I do not enjoy watching him play football. It looks like he has been traumatized through football. Oh, yeah. Every time they took moved the camera over to him on the bench,
it's like dry.
He was
heaving
on the verge of tears or like blowing up.
He's a little over dramatic.
Tough. They panned to him when it was going into overtime, and he was like, you could see his face being like, I have to go back out.
Yeah.
And I was like, the kid does not look like he's having any joy playing football.
Well, he had a rough morning.
That's true.
What the hell was that story?
Mac Jones saw a dead body floating in the water before that game started. I'm not making this up. According to Diana Rossini, Jones reportedly told teammates he was out on his balcony and saw a body floating in the water. Police were contacted, and the Niners and investigators, a coroner van pulled into the area as the team was getting ready. The Niners were staying in Marina Del Rey, which is in L.A. County, and the situation is still under investigation. But Mac Jones spotted a floater in the ocean.
It's interesting. I also saw a dead body. I think it was after Mac Jones got hit for like the 17th time in that game. He didn't move for like 5 minutes.
I do think this should be the start of the next season of White Lotus. Is Mac Jones looking out on the balcony and seeing a dead body floating?
Yeah.
Also, to Mac's credit, I'm really excited for him. I think he's in the perfect place right now. Mm. I can't wait to see him get a really big contract to go to a bad team and then be bad at football again.
How about the 49ers? Can't get it right. They get who they got? Justin Fields, right?
Trey Lance,
instead of Mac, and then they pay Brock Purdy all this money, and now Mac's maybe outplaying the guy that just got paid. It's they can't figure it out at the quarterback.
Can't pay another quarterback ever again. As long as Kyle Shanahan's there, can't pay another quarterback. You should just cycle through these quarterbacks.
I actually had a San Francisco fan DM me Saturday morning. He had called the station years ago, and him and I fought about Kyle Shanahan being the best cultivator of quarterback. Like, you could just plug a sandwich in at quarterback, and Kyle Shanahan's going to make a good offense out of it. He vehemently disagreed with me, and then after Thursday night's game, DM'd me and said, you were right.
Yeah. Like, sick brag, bro.
Cool story.
Yeah, you know, I figured I'd get that in.
Cool story and a sick brag.
Yeah, that's what's trending. That's what they said this week. I'm all over the place.
Very good. We're going to get trending from you in just a moment. We're also going to hear from Wiggy and get his keys to the game coming up at 11:45. But coming up next, we will have our inactives released at 11:30, and we'll hear from Tom E. Kern, who's going to join the show, calling in from NBC Sports Boston as the Patriots and the Bills get ready to kick off in prime time tonight, Sunday Night Football. For more on that, here's Chris Schein.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots are up in Buffalo to take on the Bills tonight on Sunday Night Football, a primetime game for the Pats kickoff at 8:20. Some injury news around the league. The Titans are activating running back Ty-J Spears this week. Lamar Jackson is out for the Ravens. We will see Cooper Rush. Bucky Irving also out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, according to Adam Schefter, at least out for the next 2 weeks is Bucky Irving. So set your fantasy lineups accordingly. Rashad White might be the play there. In the 1 o'clock window today, we have Raiders at Colts, Giants at Saints, Cowboys at Jets, Broncos at Eagles, Dolphins at Panthers, and Texans at Ravens. In the 4 o'clock window, we've got Titans at Cardinals, Buccaneers at Seahawks, Lions at Bengals, and Commanders at Chargers. Currently, right this very minute, we have international football going on as the Vikings and Browns are playing over in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Cleveland currently leads that one 10-7 here in the beginning of the third quarter. Bye weeks have already begun in the NFL. The Falcons, Packers, Bears, and Steelers all on bye. And in Monday Night Football this week, we've got the Chiefs heading to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I can see Shime getting mad over there just hearing that from Tommy Curran. That was Curran. Was that with Jones and Keefe or with Afternoons?
That was Afternoons.
That was with you guys. Okay. Yep. I listened to all of the possible Tommy Curran content I can consume over the course of a week.
They blend together
of it here
a little bit.
On WEEI all throughout the week. You can hear him on two different shows. And right there, he was maybe, I don't know, putting a little cold water on the Drake May hype train there, reminding everybody about the Pittsburgh game where he did have a couple of big mistakes. You didn't really see a lot of mistakes. I mean, you didn't really see much of anything to really criticize at all in that Carolina game. Going 14 for 17 is about as efficient as it gets. He only threw the 17 times. They didn't have to throw much more than that with the big lead that they had. But are maybe people getting a little too excited about Drake May, Ted?
No, because I think he's trending in the right direction. After the week one game against the Raiders, going back all the way back to last year's games, and including that Raiders game, I mean, he was averaging 1.5 turnovers a game. And ever since that opening game against the Raiders, he's averaging just half a turnover a game. So he's trending in the right direction. So he's had two games where he didn't turn the ball over at all. And so I don't know if there was one game last year where he didn't turn the ball over. So that's a good sign. He is trending in the right direction. I mean, he almost threw an interception in the first third down play last week, but he didn't. So I think there is some encouraging signs that and then there was also a play last week, you guys remember, where he was surrounded in the, and you thought, okay, don't make a stupid play by trying to, you know, throw it the last second before you're getting hit. He cradled the ball. He went down. He took the sack. He lived to see another down. And so that shows some improvement in his decision-making.
To me, that's the biggest indicator of where Drake is trending right now, because there's still some accuracy issues. Like, let's not pretend like he's a perfect thrower of the football. Shime is staring into my soul
But he's
now.
Not overthrowing
like,
it.
Like, the
remember,
way
like,
that
he
his
in first
head
game.
Just
not
whipped
perfect.
Over. He threw a couple at these guys' shoelaces. There were two throws that were bizarrely low to start the second half.
Yeah,
it's
but
fun.
That's...
It's I said he's not a perfect thrower of the football.
Yeah, but also like
how dare you?
You would much rather that ball be at some guy's toes than 6 feet over his head,
right? Because which is
that
what
way
he did with Kayshawn.
You're avoiding.
I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm saying
you sound
that
like a hater.
That there are still places where he can grow, but I think the biggest
indicator...
You're
talking about the league leader in completion percentage,
the biggest
by the way.
Indicator of who he can be mm-hmm. is his judgment of the situation.
I think there needs to be a little bit more evidence, Chris. Do you think that's fair to before we feel like he's gotten the turnover thing out of his system? I mean, just two... You know, one game last week, not turning over, and then then he had
Shime
two the week
like
before. So can we get three or four or five games in a row where he doesn't turn the ball over before we start saying, okay, that part of his game has been out of his game?
Sure. However you want to say it. I mean, Josh Allen had 15, 14, 18 interceptions in three straight seasons. Like,
why
I don't
does
care
he have to be the same as Josh
number.
Allen?
But he wasn't a great quarterback until the third one, so, you know.
No, like, no, no, no. That's his third, fourth, and fifth seasons in the league.
I thought you were talking about his first two seasons.
No, no. Josh Allen's first two were 12-9, and then he had 10, 15, 14, 18. So his fourth, fifth, okay. and sixth seasons in the league, he had 15 interceptions, 14 interceptions, 18 interceptions. I don't give, I would swear, but I can't on the radio, a crap about the interceptions. I don't. I don't care. I'm tired of it. I think people are insane.
You weren't here
I
when
think-
Bledsoe. How old were you when Bledsoe was the quarterback here?
Like five.
Yeah,
maybe.
So you don't remember. Those interceptions killed us.
The issue here is I care more about the fumbles. That, to me, I think, is something I care more about than the interceptions. Because I think a lot of
you
times...
You don't care about interceptions?
No, because I think a lot of the times, interceptions are weird in that it's not always the quarterback's fault. Sometimes it is completely the quarterback's fault. I think they are... You can parse through the interceptions. But the fumbles number, to me, matters way, way more. So if you see more of the... ability to avoid bad fumbles, that to me matters way, way more than the interception.
I just think the way that this team is right now, what you're saying may be true that it doesn't matter as much in the future for Drake May, and I agree with that on an individual level. But you can't give the ball away when you have to win on the margins against good teams because you don't have the talent and the experience on this team to just say, all right, we're giving the ball away, but we're going to ball out and come back. It doesn't really matter. Like it's so to me, the fumbles and the interceptions are one and the same just because of who the overall team is right now. I get what you're saying.
I mean,
like,
if he
yeah, there's context to interceptions. Of course, it's not just a quarterback.
You know, yeah, it's exactly. Not always. But you know, I would say last week, 2 weeks ago against the Steelers, if he doesn't throw that pick right before the half, they win that game.
But also, if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line, they win that game.
Sure.
Like it's all those things may not even happen. You know, like it's just I think there are. I think to me, the thing I'm more concerned with is, again, like the fumbles, like those situations where he's trying to think that he needs to go out and be Superman, and he doesn't. Just take your medicine, take the loss. It's fine. We'll live to fight another day. Luckily, in football, you run a bunch of plays in a football
game. But, Chime, the reason why I raised the thing about the accuracy is that then there are opportunities if you have an unfortunate interception mm-hmm. where you come back out on the field, and how do you respond to that? And if you're throwing at Pop Douglas's shoelaces, then you're not getting the next
down. Yeah, but it's not like he has done that, right? Like getting an interception and then...
He did that last week.
But he didn't throw an interception.
Let's just not pretend like he's perfect. He's got room to grow.
He didn't throw an interception last week.
No, but I'm saying that's why I worry about the accuracy.
But when he does, has thrown an interception, he comes back and rebounds generally, correct?
Not always.
In what case this year has he
thrown
an interception?
Let's find out in a second, and let's talk to Tommy Curran. As much as I know Shine would love to keep doing this, Tommy Curran joins us on the program here from NBC Sports Boston. Here he is on Football Sunday, WEEI. Mr. Curran, you've stirred up quite a hornet's nest here with your with your comments about Drake May, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I know Shine does, but it seems as though you've very much upset him. Are you okay with that?
I have no idea which comments he seized upon, but he's awfully tender.
I think you could take a guess, Tom. It has to do with a guy whose name rhymes with Make Day.
Yes, no. We talk a lot during the week. Just you gotta narrow it down.
He needs some context. Exactly. He needs some context.
Yeah. So, Tom, you talked about the Drake May dark side, quote-unquote, and I just think that people are like, waiting for the other shoe to drop, like he's just going to all of a sudden throw four interceptions in a game and he's going to be this turnover machine. And look, I know that there were turnovers last year and I know there were a couple in that Steelers game. I get it. But at the same time, like I feel like people aren't just looking at what he's doing and being really excited about that. And I don't really care about the interceptions number nearly as much as a lot of other people are making it out to be.
Well, yeah, if you want to go big picture, he's a really good quarterback and he's shown great promise, but every other week he has a game, and that's biggest game, critical interception at the start of the second half on a 1st and 10, I believe it was, and then a fumble that wasn't really even caused by contact that Will Campbell ended up falling on. Great game against Miami on the road. Next week, not good. So do you say that's not going to happen? That's what I'm talking about when I say dark side. He has not eliminated the possibility for me that he's going to continually string games together where he doesn't make mistakes that are unforced. So the whole context of that quote was a little more elaborate than the two words dark side. But he does every other, you know, it's going to be a while. He's, what is he, 23? Mm-hmm. He's 5 years removed from high school. He didn't have a great college program. He's still a developing quarterback. The notion that we have to genuflect because one day he might be one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. Until then, we're kind of week to week. Do you know what he's going to do tonight?
Do
no,
you, Shem?
I have no idea what he's going to do tonight, but I also think that us, like, I don't know, nitpicking at a young quarterback throwing a couple interceptions is insane. Like, I think
Chime. We're not supposed to analyze an interception.
I think we can analyze, but like, I also think that we need to take the good with the bad. Like, it's just, I think,
right. I think that the entire quote that I said was he's developing beautifully, far ahead of the arc that I imagined for him at this point. Thanks to the protection, thanks to his work, thanks to the offensive line. But I think you're out of your mind if people aren't going to say, hey, I'd like to see him stop throwing stupid interceptions on first and 10 or at the goal line. I don't understand why you would be offended by that unless you're a blood relative.
No, I'm definitely not a blood relative, unfortunately. Would love to be, but I'm not. Seems like a great family. And no, and Tom, it's more so Mego's out here riling me up after the quote than anything. But it's just, I just feel like a lot of the times, like I feel like it's way too kind of taken with a magnifying glass and looked at, and it's like, oh, look at this. When guys like, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have had seasons where they've thrown a bunch of picks and they are the best quarterbacks in football. And so sometimes I think that the interceptions are overblown. And that's kind of my whole general point.
Okay. And I think that's a fair point when you use the context of other guys make bad plays too. But those other guys have also had not 19 for 23 for 250 games with three touchdowns. They've carried teams through playoffs in crunch time. So you know that they're capable of doing that. Drake May is capable of beating a Carolina team like a drum. He's capable of beating a disarray Miami team and playing brilliantly. You're going to have to strap in because that's the nature of the week-to-week development. You look at how is he doing really well, what aspects have to improve, these stupid dark side interceptions. That's all.
Tom, I feel like I'm being accused of stirring the pot over here, and you know
you
that's not,
it's
not my
side
of the tree. It's just,
you did stir the pot.
He's being a little tender.
He only has two interceptions this year, that's all.
I want to ask you, though, about Pop Douglas. This guy, I'm wondering when you look at the way that the snaps are being distributed across the offensive weapons, is Pop Douglas at a serious risk of being on the outside, in your opinion, because of the regression that he's shown through four games?
I think a lot of it has to do with the emergence as a dependable player of Stephon Diggs. And yeah, I think guys are going to go to who, meaning May, is going to go to the player that he has had success throwing to. And I don't think that means he wants to ostracize the guy who had 66 catches on a horrendous team last year. But I think Pop Douglas has to have some kind of return on the reps invested in him. I think a lot of it does have to do with his size. I mean, even if it was Efton Chisholm in there, I don't think that he would be up around 25 receptions either. I just don't think that they're playing that style that really appeals to a Pop Douglas right now, because I mean, teams are starting to play zone because of May's ability to run. So as a result, there's more guys who have the ability to sit down in zone, which Diggs does really well. And I don't think Pop does really well right now. Pop gets open against one-on-one coverage beautifully, but I don't think that he seems to get the nuance of sitting down in zone and just, you know, camping out. He goes fast, and then he seems to be moving still. And the throws behind him are suggestive to me of the fact that he and May just aren't really feeling exactly what he's going to do when he gets out there.
So then the question that follows to me, Tom, does the team need him? Like, when you look at Henry, Booty, Diggs, Hollins, is that who they roll with? Or is there going to be a point where you get to, like, week 12 and you're like, man, you could really use more Pop here?
Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. So I definitely think there's going to be plays where they see a screen game situation, whip it out to him on the outside, let him try and make some yards. I don't think that they should go away from him, nor do I think they will. I mean, McDaniels, you know, speaking publicly and privately, just really thinks the Pop can be a weapon. So I think other guys are performing through four games and Pop hasn't. So as a result, May is going to do what he ought to, which is go to the guys who are giving him a return on the throws.
TC, what do you think is the most important task for the Pats defense? You know, is it eliminating James Cook? He's averaging about 122 yards from scrimmage per game, and it's a 450-yard team production on offense every single week? Or is it the big play? They have a lot of big plays, or is it tackling? I mean, they're excellent run after catch offense. What do you think is the most important thing this Patriots defense has to take care of tonight?
Tonight, I think it's making sure that they don't overrush Josh Allen, because they've been so aggressive, Teddy, with their rush. They've done so many different things, twists, loops, and they have had an ability to create chaos against lesser quarterbacks. But I think that Allen's ability to create on third and eight and just tuck it and run through people and maybe not slide, that's my biggest concern for them tonight, because they have had great success getting pressure. But I don't think that it has been, you know, the kind of Bill pressure that he used to show against Aaron Rodgers when he was good. Remember, Rodgers would sit back there for 10, 12 seconds just surveying because he was walled in. I don't know if these guys are going to be disciplined enough, because they've gotten good return on being chaotic, to stay in their rush lanes and not go past Josh Allen and open up some of those plays. Because even if they play great, and offensively and defensively, they do have kind of a superhero who can do things on his own on a third and eight. You force him into a third and eight and he gets 12 on you. And that's the kind of backbreaking stuff I don't know they can survive against the Buffalo team.
Tom, with the way things have been going lately here, winning two out of these last three games, there was a stretch last year where they beat the Jets and I think the Bears in two out of three games, and it was in the middle of the year, and it didn't really seem like much was going to happen with that team. But based on the new coaching staff, sort of the new environment, the new culture in that locker room, is this something that you think the momentum anyway from these first couple of games here and these first couple of wins, something that can be carried into primetime tonight?
I definitely think that the matchup of having a game against Pittsburgh where you play so much better than they did and were completely the cause of your own demise, and then to follow that game with such a clean game in which the special teams made plays, in which the offense was crisp, Drake May made responsible decisions all the way through the game. It's good proof that, okay, if we play clean, we can demolish a team that we were on par with last year. If we play stupid, we can lose to a lesser team, even if we're doing other things during that game. So I think that's the momentum that I'm looking at, Christian, is they just played a clean game. They understand what happens if they don't. Don't try and overdo. You know, be patient. And I think that they have to be very patient tonight. The thing about Buffalo is they generally score on their first two possessions every game, a touchdown. And the Patriots have been allowing touchdowns on their first two possessions frequently. So, or at least the first. So to me, don't panic if you're down 14-0 early. Don't panic if it's 17-3. Stay in the game, stay connected, and go drive by drive. We'll see if this team has the patience to do that.
Tom, you talk about the defense. Milton Williams popped up on the injury report this week, missed practice. He hasn't seen this kind of amount of snaps, consecutively week after week, having played with the Eagles and been in that rotation before. Is this finally kind of catching up to him, or is this just a normal kind of football injury thing that he's dealing with and he should be all right?
He's been so good in the games that he's out there that I don't think it's a fatigue thing. I mean, I think that they have gotten their money's worth in terms of him creating havoc and being a good player for them. So if I was seeing prior to him showing up on the injury report, ineffective, and then on the injury report, I would think there was more to it than that. I think it'll be a while before you see him wear down, but I think he's been really good. But obviously you can use him because Cook is one of the best 3 to 5 backs in the league at this point, 5.4 yards per carry right now.
All right, that is Tommy Kern. You can catch him on NBC Sports Boston before, after, and I think at halftime too, right? You still guys doing
halftime
game? Teddy, you'll be there with him. Very good.
Yes,
Tommy, great to talk with you as always, sir. Thanks so much.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I think I have some bad news pertaining to Wiggy's keys.
Oh, no.
He forgot to do them. So we're going to have to figure out something on the fly here for this next segment.
I think we can do it.
We'll do it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, usually we have Wiggy's Keys at this time of the show, but we don't have them today.
We don't?
No, we don't.
Oh, man.
I don't know where they are.
Show's over.
I don't know what happened.
Abhorrent. Where's the Marcus Spears drop?
But yeah, no Wiggy's Keys today, unfortunately. If I had to guess, I would say one of them would have been run the ball.
Yep.
One of them is contain Josh Allen.
Contain Josh Allen and protect Drake May.
That sounds about right.
Right?
Maybe limit turnovers.
I think
that would be one, because Wiggy would know that the Buffalo Bills have a record streak of 26 straight games in which they have won the turnover battle.
Yes, they do. That's why they are so good.
I
thought interceptions don't matter.
They don't. That interceptions number doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to Drake May. It matters for everything else in the world.
Right.
But definitely not
when Drake
May
does it, it's fine.
I mean,
it doesn't matter at all.
It's just a turnover battle. If the Patriots,
an interception's never a turnover.
Even if Drake didn't throw that, first of all, he's only thrown two interceptions this season. Even if he didn't throw that interception in the Pittsburgh game, they still were going to lose the turnover battle because of the three fumbles by the running back.
There's no way to get away from that one.
Ramondre was terrible in that game.
He certainly was. Since Wiggy's not here to give us his keys, let's go to the phones. Now we got some callers on the line. Let's talk to the people. 617-779-7937. Let's start with Jay, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jay.
You got good chemistry together.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
You guys work well together.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But I tell you right now, this is not the Carolina Panthers they're playing. This is a real team. And if they acquit themselves well, I hope they win. But if they don't, but they acquit themselves well, I'll be satisfied. And as I say, I'm hoping that maybe they'll let Drake May pull Josh Allen and maybe scramble for 19 yards here and there. That would be nice. But as I say, I think they're coming around. I think the Patriots are coming around based on what I saw last week. But as I say,
Jay, what's your key to the game?
Contain Josh Allen. He's a lethal force on that team. And if you can shut him down, he can win the game by himself.
Okay. I think we should start calling this Jay and North Carolina's keys to the game, honestly. I mean, that was just as good as anything Wiggy ever gave.
That is important. It is, you know, so, you know, what they used to call it, the mush rush, where you're not trying to stunt.
I like the
mush
rush.
But you're trying to keep the quarterback in front.
Yeah.
So, you know, and contained. So you don't twist, you don't stunt, you don't really try and get to him. You just try to keep him contained. I think that's, for some quarterbacks, that's a good strategy, because the longer they hold the ball, most quarterbacks make a bad decision the longer they're holding the ball. Josh Allen, you give him all that day back there, I think he'll wait
he'll
and find someone.
Apart.
He'll pick you apart. So I think you have to kind of pick your spots, and you have to – I would employ, if you can, a spy. And then have guys doing their twists and stunts and being aggressive in the pass rush, but then employ a spy to kind of shadow Josh Allen.
Well, especially because Josh Allen, oddly enough, loves to, when he scrambles, he loves to scramble over the center and the guard. He's not a big, like, Drake May loves to get to the outside, get to the perimeter, use the sidelines. Josh Allen doesn't. He wants to challenge linebackers. He's physical in that way. He has no problem taking on contact, and he is just an athletic freak in that regard, and a lot of teams aren't prepared for that. They don't expect the quarterback to want to run straight up the middle of the field.
And generally, when you have a spy on the quarterback, it's one of the inside guys, right? Like, isn't that usually
like Spillane,
what you do?
Jack Spillane, Gibbons, Christian Ellis.
Tavai's back this week, right? Isn't he?
Tavai
back
is
out there,
supposed to be back.
Are any
practiced.
Of those guys fast enough to do that, though?
I would put, if anything, Marte Mapu would be a guy.
Oh, sure. Safety hybrid. That's a good thought about that.
That's who I would put
okay,
on.
Okay, Ted.
Yep,
good thought.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Ed in the car. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
Good, sir. How you
good
doing?
Good to hear you on there.
What are we, Mirage?
Good. I don't understand how the other two are on the radio, by no means.
It's three of us, first of all.
Thank you.
I'm
go ahead,
here
Ed.
Because I am a woman.
Besides yourself.
Thank you, Ed. What you got?
Nancy Drew Bledsoe with the interceptions. I heard he was always complaining that it wasn't his fault. Is that true with Nancy Drew?
I don't remember that. That's my boy, Ed. I appreciate the kind words. But I don't remember that being the case. But Drew did throw a lot of interceptions. He threw more interceptions than touchdowns in 1994 and in 1995 and in 1999. So the interceptions were an issue for Drew. But I don't remember that, Ed, him using
blaming
them.
Other people.
Yeah, that would have been a bad look. That really wasn't his style. So
he would have lost the locker room a lot sooner if he was doing that, right?
And I don't remember that being a thing for him. So
did he ever really lose the locker room with the picks? Like, did the locker room turn on him? Because I know when Brady got there, you've told me this before, it was a pretty easy transition to Brady. Like, it's not like there was a lot of love for Drew. Oh, we got to bring him back. Everyone followed Brady, right? So did he lose the room?
You know what it was? It was a nice seamless transition into supporting Tom.
Yeah.
Because Tom was a glorified game manager, and Drew was the complete opposite, gunslinger, take chances, take risks with the ball. And there was a Steelers game that we played where he threw an interception. We had the game won. It was 97, 98, and there was his own blitz, and he didn't see the guy out in the flat, and they ran it back for six. And I remember that was a game in which we were all just like, bro. But I think he was so talented that we overlooked a lot of the interceptions because we had a good defense. But you couldn't get away with being careless with the football in today's NFL like it was back then.
He threw the ball 691 times in 1994.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a famous 70.
Holy smokes.
Didn't he have 70 pass completions?
Yeah.
70 pass attempts against Cleveland that year.
Like, nobody in the NFL has thrown that many pass attempts since Tom Brady in 2022.
Wow. And
that's in today's NFL.
Yeah.
That was in 94.
That was in the 90s, yeah.
Yep.
Holy
smokes.
He
had 4,500 yards, and his completion percentage, 57%. And he threw two more interceptions than he did touchdowns that year. 27 interceptions. 27!
It's like that was the 30-30 for Jameis before Jameis.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty
kinda.
Much, man.
I mean, really, it was sort of like the Jameis prototype.
Yeah.
Those couple of years of Bledsoe. Yep. That's a good point. 617-779-7937. Not sure if we're going to take a lot more calls here, although those were two pretty good ones.
It's a great one to finish.
Especially
on
Ed. I thought Ed was great.
Yeah, he does.
We'll get to more of that. Also, we'll reset on our main takes. We have the top Ted list, which we're all contributing to this week.
Wait.
I'm very excited about that. We just fire questions at Ted until he gets annoyed. And we'll also have our degenerate segment at the end of the show as well, which we'll all be joining in on as we get down and dirty with the big bets for the week. That's all coming up in the 12 o'clock hour here at Football Sunday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.